said, what's the question? Eli Shimon said he'll let you know Motzei Shabbos.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Sure.
I've done both.
Okay?
I've done both.
Yeah. Okay, so Rabbi, so our limud of Sefer Chofetz Chaim, Hilchos Lashon Hara, is Lizchus Refuas, Yosef Tov Ben Chayla, B'soich Shochel Yisrael. So we started to say yesterday, we're going through the various lavin at the beginning of the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. We started to say yesterday, we went on to lav number 5, I think it is. And lav number 5, he said, was as follows. Yeah, we started explaining that most people who speak badly about other people is because they consider themselves superior. Yeah? So he says that you've got a problem with that. He said, because the person who considers himself superior, and that's why he can put down Yenem, also considers himself superior to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So because the Ribbono Shel Olam told him not to talk Lashon Hara, and he's saying, I know better. Ich ken besser from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam said, this is Lashon Hara, you're not allowed to speak it. And he judges in his own mind that he's going to speak it. So he says that, therefore, this is the wrong page. Yeah, so he says, therefore, he says, if you, yeah, and also, of course, he sees himself as faultless. He doesn't see any chesronus by himself. He's the good person. He's the goody. The other guy is the perp, is the bad one. Yeah, and he said, befrat, he said, when he is miskabed bikloin chaveiroi, that adds to his own covert, that makes him come out as the as a better person. You get this all the time with politicians. Right? Politicians are constantly criticizing other politicians in order to say, therefore, vote for me because I'm better. Yeah. So Chofetz Chaim says that such a person, he said, he is the Ribbono Shel Olam cannot stand a gevar lev. The Ribbono Shel Olam says about a bal gaiva, the ein ani v'hu yudor yicholim lodu v'modor achas, that we can't live in the same place. The Ribbono Shel Olam can't tolerate such a person, and therefore he says, so when he does such a thing and he is a gevar lev, then he's pushing the Ribbono Shel Olam away. He's saying, I know better, and therefore he says that, therefore he says, you're over the lav of Ishom Elecho Pentishkach Es Hashem Elekecho. The person who's speaking the Lashon Hara is consciously making a decision. Very often he even knows at the time. Right? People today is Achshadora. People do think about Lashon Hara. And very often when a person eats, when he speaks Lashon Hara, he actually's got second qualms. He's not 100% sure whether or not what he's saying is okay or isn't okay. And Ayatzachan is okay. It's like, you know, sometimes with a Heksha, you know, he's not sure, can I rely on this? I can't rely on it. It hasn't got a Heksha, but it's on the list, etc., etc. And he's not sure 100%, but because he has a Yetzahara, therefore he forces himself. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Hishom Elecho Petishkach Es Hashem Elekecho. There's a love to forget the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a Torah, and gave us halachos, and gave us the laws, and that's what we have to keep. Make sure that at least these two are working, which the machine is working at the moment. I have first yahrzeit today for my mother, Olea Sholem. There's Lachaim over here. If anybody would like to partake, please do.
Start today, the Torah in Northwest London, Friday, 16th of Shvat, 26th of January, Rabbi Chaim Polak, Shlita, Mon Lomdus. This week's Torah word is sponsored by Tony Blachman, Leon Nishmas, Elisha Yohu, Ben Rabbi Avrom, Shimshon, Tony Rofo, who's Yahrzeit with on Wednesday, Leon Nishmas, Moras, Sarah Rosa, Basra, Benyamin, Akhoin, Ali Asholim, who's Yahrzeit is next Monday. ולזכוס השבועים והחיולים והמלחמו שיחסרו לבותיהם לשלום במהירות.
אמן.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This week is the Parsha of the Mon, Parsha's Bashalach. I want to talk about something quite interesting about the Mon. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was mesaken Berachas Hazon al Amon. When Bnei Yisrael, when the Yidden in the Midbar ate the mon, but then Moshe Rabbeinu was mesaken for them to bench on the mon. Now the Chazon Ish has a famous question in this Gemara, and to understand this question we're going to give a little introduction. There's a shaila in the Achronim, a shaila posed by Rabbi Kivega and others. What is the main mitzvah of benching? We know the Torah tells us in Parshas Ekev, V'chaltov v'savaltov v'erachtos Hashem nekecho. You shall eat, you shall be satisfied, and then you shall bench HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does this mean? You have to eat a bread types of things, and you have to be satisfied, and then you have to bench. So the question is, what is the main machayv, what is the main idea of benching? What's the main thing which makes you bench? Is it the eating, or is it the satisfaction? What does this mean? It doesn't mean you have to eat bread until you're satisfied, and because you ate to that amount, therefore you have to bench. As in, it's the achila, which is the machayv. And the sphere is just the shir, you have to eat until you're satisfied, and that's when you bench. Or no, is it the sphere? Are you not benching because you ate? You're benching because you're satisfied. You're benching to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the fact that now you're satisfied on the food that he gave you. What will be the nafkamina? So Rabbi Kivega says a famous shaila about a bar mitzvah boy on the night of his bar mitzvah, that before he turns 13, he eats a meal, and then it comes nacht, now he's bar mitzvah, now he's mechuyev mitzvah, it's menatorah. So is he mechuyev to bench menatorah or not? Because he started eating before it was nacht, and now it's nacht, and now he's satisfied for what he ate before. Is he chayv to eat? If the chiyuv is because of the achila, because of what he ate when he was a child, before he was bar mitzvah, so he's not chayv menatorah. If the chiyuv is because he's satisfied, because of the savato, so Lamai said now it's already nacht, and now he's satisfied. So he's a godel who's satisfied from eating food, so therefore it'd be chayv menatorah to bench. Nafkamin would be if he wants to be moitzi a godel, or for example if he has a sofik, if he benched or not, that we know if he's chayv menatorah he has to repeat benching, and if it's rabbon he doesn't. Chazon Ish brings this question a bit differently. He says another nafkamin would be by a ger. You have a ger, somebody who's becoming a ger, and just before he's megaya, he has his last meal before he becomes Jewish, and Lamai said now he's a ger, now he's Jewish, and he's full of food. Is he mechayev to bench or not? So he ate when he was a goy. So if the achil is a mechayev, then he ate when he was a goy, he can't be chayev. Shaken, if the svi is mechayev, Lamai said now he's Jewish, and he's full, so he's chayev to bench. That would be the nafkamin in the shaila. So the Chazon Ish says the question, and the Rebbe Kivega also. So we know also when somebody eats a small meal when he's full, the shir he has to bench, make adin is 72 minutes, like Mishnah Berurah brings in Kuf Pei Dalet. So now what is this idea of 72 minutes? So we know when somebody eats, the food goes to his stomach, and it takes 72 minutes till the food is broken down, it gets sent to the intestines, it gets sent to the nutrients, get sent all across the body. It takes 72 minutes for the food to leave the stomach. So what was the idea of the 72 minutes? So again, it could be toilah on these two tzedodim. If you say that the ikar chiyuv is because of the sviya, because you're benching because you're full, so then it's very, so it's partial to understand. You can only bench because one that you're full. After 72 minutes, your stomach's now emptied out. You've got no food in your stomach, so you can't bench anymore because you're not soveya. If you say that achila is the machayev, so then the Chazon Ish explains that really, after a person eats, he should really have to bench straight away. He just ate. He ate and he became satisfied, so he has to bench straight away. Like every bracha, you have to do it right next to the thing which you're benching on. Novos, there's another mitzvah of 72 minutes, there's another din that within 72 minutes, because you've still got food in your stomach, so that's still close enough to the time when you ate. You ate, and the food's still in your stomach, so you can still connect back to that eating. It's another zman where you can still, in that time, you can still connect backwards to your eating and say, I've still got the food here in my stomach, so I've still got shaychus to my eating, and I can still bench within 72 minutes. That's how the Chazon Ish explains. Could be an afkamina that if somebody, let's say, the post can talk about, if somebody is 70 minutes after he ate, and now if he's going to start benching, it's going to be after, by the time he finishes, it's going to be after the shir of 72 minutes. Is he allowed to bench? So this question, the Yad Eliyahu and others, they pose the question. So perhaps it's got to do with this. If you say that the benching is because you're full, and the 72 minute zone is that in those 72 minutes, you've still got food in your stomach, you're still full. So if in the middle of benching, your stomach's going to empty out, so you can't bench anymore. Because in the middle of the benching, your stomach's going to be empty, so you don't have a sphere, you don't have a water bench. Shaken, if be'etzem, you're benching because of the achila, because the 72 minutes is a zman where you can say that I'm still connected to my achila. I'm still near enough to my achila. I've still got a remembrance of my achila. So it could be that as long as you start within the 72 minutes, you're still connecting back to the achila which you did. So then you could bench. Then it wouldn't be a problem of benching, even though you're going to finish after the zman. But those are the two ways of understanding that the 72 minutes. Is that zman a zman that you're full and therefore you're satisfied and therefore you can bench on the satisfaction? Oh no, Ba'etzim, you're benching always on the Achila, the fact that you ate. And the 72 minutes is just a time where you can still reference back and have a shaykhah still to that Achila. So Chazanish asked a question by the Mon. We said the Gemara in Bracha says that Moshe Rabbeinu is Masakin, that the Eden and the Midbar would bench on the Mon, Berchus HaMozen. So the question is, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Ayin Hei, says that the Gemara says that B'nei Sol, when they ate the Mon would be Nivla Mei Virim. It would mean, as soon as they ate it, it would become absorbed into their body. So Chazanish learns the Pshat in the Gemara, that as soon as they ate the food, straight away it would turn into nutrients and get sent to all the right places in the body. So says the Chazanish, Lefida had a tshveh, how could they bench? We know after 72 minutes, if somebody eats, he can't bench anymore. Why? Because the food's no longer in his stomach, so he doesn't have on what to bench. So for the same reason, if somebody ate mon, and the Gemara says as soon as they ate it, it was sent to their body straight away, it didn't go through their stomach, it didn't take time to settle at all. So if so, how could they bench at all? How could Moshe Rabbeinu tell Bnei Yisrael to bench on the mon? It's in a sackle before it got anywhere. So it's like after 72 minutes, how could they bench? Says the Chazanish, it will depend. If you say that the benching is because you're satisfied on the satisfaction, they're not satisfied, they don't have the food in their stomach, so they wouldn't be able to bench. Says the Chazanish, because the main idea of benching is to bench on the Achila, so really he says there's really two times to bench. Really, as soon as you eat, Ba'etzim, you can bench straight away. You just ate, so rather you can bench straight away. There's a secondary time zone of 72 minutes where you still got a shaykhus to your Achila. Because of the food in your stomach, you're still able to connect back to that Achila. But really, once you eat, you can bench straight away, even if the food's not there anymore. Because obviously, once you ate, you're allowed to bench straight away, because you just ate. So therefore, when they ate the mon, even though straight away the food turned into nutrients and was sent across their body and didn't settle in the stomach at all, but they just ate, Tavada, they could bench. But in a Hanami, after a few minutes, once they've already finished eating and the foods are no longer there, then in a Hanami, they wouldn't be able to bench anymore, because then they didn't have a musak of a zman ikkel. They didn't have a time where the food was still settling in their stomach. So Chazanish saying a chiddush that in the midbar, the Eden had to bench on the mon straight away. They didn't have the 72 minutes that we have today. So that's how he explains. So there's another shayla similar to this. If somebody eats, he eats a full meal, and then he throws up, and it doesn't stay in his stomach. So the Shari Tshuva brings, in Simon Reishches, Shem the Birka Yosef, that a person can't bench. For the same reason, he says, we know that after you eat, you've got a shi'ikul, 72 minutes where the food's in your stomach. If somebody throws up, the food's no longer in their stomach, so they're unable to bench, they've lost the opportunity. However, Chaim Knievsky brings Shem the Chazanish, so no. There's another din, as soon as you eat, you're allowed to bench straight away, because once you ate, you can bench straight away, you're still connecting back to the achila straight away. So even if the food straight away left your stomach because you threw up, Lamaisi is still allowed to bench. The 72 minutes you won't have, because the food's no longer in your stomach. But as soon as you eat, you're allowed to bench straight away. Chazanish compares this to another din about psalmim. We know when we smell psalmim, we don't make a bracha after the psalmim, only before. So Mogen Avraham says, because as soon as you smell the psalmim, straight away it dissipates into the air, it's no longer there. So there's nothing there for you to make a bracha on. But the Chazanish says, once you eat, Ba'etzim, straight away you can make a bracha. So Ba'etzim, he asked, by psalmim as well, should be the same halacha, that as soon as you smell the psalmim, you should be able to make a bracha achrona as well. So he gives a different reason why we don't make a bracha achrona. But we see from the Chazanish, there's really two zmanim when you can bench after eating. One is straight away, as soon as you ate, you can bench. And that's what Bnei Yisrael did by the mon. Then there's a secondary time of 72 minutes, which Bnei Yisrael did not have by the mon, because the food was absorbed into their body straight away. So first of all, Chazanish is a chiddush mitzat hilchos berachos hamazon. Because if you look at Shulchan Aruch and Kuf Bei Dalet, Shulchan Aruch says, how long do you have to bench? So we know it's Mishabur says 72 minutes. But the main idea is, kol zman she'inu yiroiv machmas oise achila. Kol zman, you're not hungry for that eating. Which means the whole idea of 72 minutes basically is that's normally when a person is still full. Person ate, and for 72 minutes, he's definitely full. After that, maybe he starts getting hungry. So by the mon, that's for sure that after the eight, they were full. The Torah says that was a sphere. After the eight, they didn't go hungry, they were full.
Can it be ice cream and not bread? Did you still bench?
That maybe we'll get to when exactly they benched the mon. But at the moment, let's say the pashtus that the mon itself, the properties of the mon itself, had a din lechem, let's say. Maybe we'll get to that soon. But the problem is the Chazanish is saying that you can only bench kolzman, the food's in your stomach. The pashtus pshan shulchan aruch is kolzman, you're not hungry from that achila, you're able to bench. Because you're not hungry, so you're full. Chazanish is saying, no, that's not enough. Once you ate, in order to connect back to that eating, you actually have to have the food in your stomach, sitting in your stomach. And if the food would be swallowed up into your body, and it wouldn't be in your stomach, you wouldn't be able to bench. So that was his whole kasha on the mon, that even though they were full, but lemaisa, the food wasn't physically in their stomach, how could they bench? The Chazanish said they had to bench straight away. That's one chiddush of the Chazanish for Birchas HaMozen. The other chiddush is legabe the mon. The Gemara Yuma told us that when Bnei Yisrael ate the mon, the Gemara really says there was no waste when they ate the mon. The Gemara there is discussing a pasuk and pasuk kiseitei. The pasuk there says that in the midbar they had to have a bathroom. The pasuk says there that that they had to have bathrooms in the midbar. So Gemara asks, why did they need the bathroom when they ate the mon? There was no waste. Everything stayed in their stomach. Nothing went to waste. So why did they need to have a bathroom? So the Gemara says that they used to buy food from the goyim as well. So for that, they had to build a special bathroom. So Pashup Shah in the Gemara is that the Gemara is just saying there was no waste when it came to the mon. As in, it could be the regular food process, which happens normally, happened by the mon as well. They ate food, it went into their stomach, it took 72 minutes, and then it got broken down and it got sent to the body like regular food. The Gemara is saying there was no waste, nothing went to waste. They didn't need a bathroom. Chazanish is learning the Gemara differently. The Chazanish is learning that straight away, as soon as they ate the food turned into nutrients and was sent straight away to the body and never bechlal settled in their stomach in the first place. And that's why he had shver, that the ikkel happened straight away. It didn't bechlal sit in their stomach in order to break down. So Chazanish Barach Kodesh, that's how we learned the Gemara. He understood the Gemara that the food bechlal never settled in their stomach. It went straight away to the different parts of the body. But could be maybe there's a makor to the Chazanish. Balaturim in this week's parasha is Madaik. He goes on the Pasuk Lamad Gimel, Perik Tes Zayin. The Pasuk there says, V'yemi Moshe el Aaron, kach tzenes achas, v'sen shom avalei o'imeh, mon, v'hanach oysa lefnei Hashem, l'mishmeres l'deri seicha. Moshe told Aaron to take a portion of the mon, and preserve it for future generations, and v'hanach oysa lefnei Hashem, to put it before Hashem. The Balaturim says the word v'hanach is written elsewhere in Tanakh. It's written here. And he says it's also written in Shoftim, in the story of Gideon. So what was the story there? We know that Gideon had a shlichus to save Klal Yisrael. And Gideon asked, how do I know that I'm worthy? And Hashem sent a malach to Gideon. And the malach told him what to do. The malach said, go prepare a bokah, go shecht an animal, and prepare a piece of meat and matzahs, and put it on a stone. And the pasuk there says, in a Shoftim perik vav pasuk chav, take this bosa and matzos, the meat and the matzos you prepared, put it on top of the rock. So the Balaturim says the word Bahanach is written by us in Bishalach by the Mon, and it's written also in the story of Gideon with that story there with the bosa and the matzos. What's the Shaykh? It says the Balaturim, just as over there the food got swallowed up, who went in by the mon. What does it mean? If you look in the next pasuk in Shoftim, Yishlach Malach Hashem is Ktzei HaMishenes, Malach took his staff. And straightway a fire came from the rock and consumed, ate up the boss and the matzos. So says the Balaturim, just as over there the boss and the matzos were swallowed up, who had in by the morning was also swallowed up into their body. So if you learn the Gemara in Yuma, that the Gemara just means that when they ate the mon, there was no waste. What's the Shaykh, what's he bringing from Daniel? It would seem more that the raya is that just over there the fire came and as soon as it went into the rock, the fire came and consumed the bosa and the matzos, and it didn't bachal settle. Who had in bayas as well, when the mon entered into their body, straight away, it didn't settle bachal on the stomach, it went straight away to all the different evorim in the guf. And that's what the Balaturim is bringing from over there. Just as there, the bosa and the matzos were totally swallowed up, and didn't have time to sit on the stone. Who had in here, when they ate the mon went into their body and straight away got swallowed up into all the different Evarim. So that's what the Balaturim perhaps is bringing from there. That's what he's bringing there from the story of Gideon to explain to you what was the Nivla, what was this Nes, which the Gemara tells us by the Mon. That it wasn't just a story that there was no waste. The Gemara means more than that, that it was like it was a whole different type of processing of the food, that the food went into the body and straight away got swallowed up into the body.
What about the Slav?
The Slav, I don't think there wasn't mentioned such a Nes. I mean, the Gemara talks about the Mon, that they didn't need the bathroom. Yes, okay, yes. Ah, yes. Kinnereth from the Slav also wasn't waste. That's what it seems. The Gemara said only because they bought food from the Goyim. But I don't know if they have the Chazanish's Chiddush that straight away was swallowed up. That could be not. It could be by the Slav, there was no waste. But by the Mon, Chazanish is telling you that the Pshat was that straight away got absorbed into all the parts of the body. So maybe this would be a Makor to the Chazanish from this Balaturim, from the comparison to Gideon, that the food straight away got absorbed into all parts of the body. Another Makor, as we know the story of Yonah. In a Yonah Perik base, we know the story. Vayeman Hashem dog godol levloyas Yonah. Hashem sent a big fish to swallow up Yonah. Yeah, we know the story of Yonah and the fish. So there's a Rashi there, which some versions of Tanakh have the Rashi, some don't. Pasha says it's not Rashi; it's a different pirush. Bo b'shem the Soit Meishorim. Rashi there says, what's the lashon Vayeman Hashem? Hashem appointed a large fish. What's Vayeman? So Rashi says that we know Bnei Yisrael promised to have the man for 40 years. In the midbar. And I say they got out of Israel a bit early and they didn't need, there were 16 days, Rashi says, where they didn't need the mon. There was extra mon. So Hashem took this extra mon, the 16 days worth of mon, and fed it to the fish. This whale which swallowed up Yonah, Hashem gave the fish the mon. Why? Kedei that it shouldn't eat up Yoino. The Yoino was sitting in the fish's stomach. And what? Yeah. It was sitting in the stomach of the fish. So therefore Hashem had to feed the fish this the mon kedei that it shouldn't eat up Yoino. So l'chayra, if you say that the mon ba'etzem had the regular process of food, that it went through into the stomach and it sat there and then eventually got sent out to all the different Evorim. So l'chayra, what did that help? The mon ma'aseh went into the stomach of the fish, and then the digestive system of the fish was still working. It was still breaking down food and was still sending food to all different parts of the body. So if the system was still working, l'chayra, it would have broken down Yoino as well. Yoino was in the stomach there with the mon, and the system would have worked and broken Yoino down as well. What would have been the big Yeshua? Chayr would be more geshmak if you say like the Chazon Ish, that la'olam, as soon as the mon entered the body of the fish, then straight away it got sent to the right places. It never b'chalal entered the stomach to be broken down. So in a few that we can understand what Rashi's telling you, that the whole system of the fish, the whole digestive system wasn't working. The stomach wasn't breaking down the foods. That's how Yoino was safe. So that could be another riot to the Chazon Ish, that the way the mon worked was that it didn't have to be broken down in the system. As soon as it entered the body, straight away, it got sent to the right places. But Rashi is there saying, Vayaman Hashem, he's Madaik, Vayaman is Vayaman. 16 mon, the 16 days of mon, that's got sent to the fish. But that could be a riot to the Chazon Ish, how the mon worked. We don't know where the Chazon Ish came from, but maybe those could be Makuris to how he understood how the mon worked. But the Chazon Ish is explaining that Bnei Sol, they benched on the mon because they had to bench straight away. The Emes, as soon as they ate it, it got sent to the body. So they had to bench on the mon straight away. It might be the Chiddush in the Gemara that Bnei Sol didn't have much of a chance. As soon as they ate straight away, they had to sit down and bench. There is perhaps another pshat. We know in that Gemara in Brochus, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesakein Berchas Hazon on the mon. The Gemara says Yeshua was Mesakein Berchas Oretz. And David and Yeshua were Mesakein Bnei Yerushalayim. The Gemara goes through exactly how they were Mesakein. So the Rosh asks in the Gemara, what do you mean that they were Mesakein? He asks, David and Shlomo, they were Mesakein Bnei Yerushalayim. The mitzvah of Berchas Hamazon was long before that. So until David and Shlomo came along, we didn't say the bracha of Bnei Yerushalayim. So the Rosh explains that no, Avada, we said the brachas, all the brachas before. Just David and Shlomo, they were Mesakein, the matpeh of the bracha, exactly how to say which words to use in the bracha. But Avada, they actually benched before. So the Madani Yom Tov, the Pirush on the Rosh, he asks, why does the Rosh only ask from David and Shlomo? Why doesn't he already ask from Moshe and Yeshua? The Gemara says Moshe was Mesakein Berchas Hazon. And Yeshua is Mesakein Berchas Oretz. Why doesn't the Rosh ask from there as well? It says about Dani Yom Tov, because the mitzvah of benching really was only given in Parshas Ekev, in Arav Ismoyov, the end of Bnei Sol's journey in the Midbar. So he says, Enechanami, when they got to that stage of Parshas Ekev, when they were in Arav Ismoyov, then Moshe and Yeshua came together, and when the mitzvah was given, straight away they were Mesakein how to make the bracha. Only much later on, Dovid and Shlomo came along, and they were Mesakein their bracha, so the Rosh had shver how, what did they do before Dovid and Shlomo? But Enechanami, Lemaisa, the Yidden only started benching in the Midbar, only in Arav Ismoyev from Parshas Ekev. Basically in the 40th year of the Midbar. So the Chiddush, Madani Yom Tov saying that really during the years of the Midbar, Bnei Sol didn't bench. And that which the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu told him to bench them on, only started in the 40th year. The Tzlach, he says a bit differently. The Tzlach says,
there was a mitzvah of a Chalta Vasavata before the 40 years.
So the Madani Yom Tov is telling you not. As in, normally we know there is a machlokes in the Gemara whether all the mitzvahs were noyik throughout the Midbar. But they now just seem to be saying that benching, for some reason, Be'etzem had to do with going into Eretz Yisrael. Like really the pasuk seems to say, he seems to be saying the mitzvah is Be'etzem tied in somehow to going to Eretz Yisrael. So only started, Lekulam only started in the 40th year. That's how he's saying. But the Tzlach says that Avada Techidosh, and the Pashas says that they benched throughout the years in the Midbar after Matan Torah. So he says, as Enechanami, the mitzvah itself was only given, Vachalta Vasavatov was only given in Arav Ismoyov. However, Moshe Rabbeinu Tikin Lehem Yisrael, Moshe made a different takana, a new takana, a different din, to bench on the mon. Even before the mitzvah, Vachalta Vasavatov was given, there was a separate mitzvah to bench on the mon. So really, if you look in Rabbeinu B'chai on this week's parasha, he seems to say something similar lines. He says, the pasuk says, Baboike Tisbu Lechem, V'yedatem Kini Hashem Legechem, you shall know that I'm Hashem. So what does it mean? Rabbeinu B'chai says, Shetevorchu Hashmi Al Amozoin, Ke'inyan Shekosa V'chalta V'svata V'rachta Hashem Lekecho, Mikan Omer Rabbi Seinu Zal, Moshe Tikinem Lisol Berchas Hazon. Rabbeinu B'chai is teaching when it says you shall eat, you should be satisfied. V'yedatem Ke'inyan Hashem. What does it mean, V'yedatem? You shall bench on the mon. And he references that Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu is Mesakein to bench on the mon. So maybe it also be a Makor, maybe that apart from the regular mitzvah, V'chalta V'svata, which maybe only happened later on, there was a separate mitzvah, Moshe Rabbeinu is Mesakein to bench on the mon already before that, and those are the words Vidatim Kini Hashem. There's a separate mitzvah to bench on the mon. So that could be what the Tzlach is saying as well. So maybe it's not shver. The Rosh didn't have shver for Moshe and Yeshua, because then they were masakin a different mitzvah to bench specifically on the mon. There's a new mitzvah to bench daf on the mon. Later on, in Arvis Moyov, then came the regular mitzvah, what we know of a chalva sabata to bench on all types of lechem. So Emes, the tshuva of Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam, he has a tshuva from the Bnei Tamar. They wrote to him that their minhag was they didn't eat regular bread. They used to eat what they call deiro and deichen, which is I think millet and other types of bread. It's not made of the five grains, made of rice and other type of things. So that was their bread. That's what they normally ate for main meals. So the question was, could they bench on these types of breads? So they said, we don't need dafka, the five grains, varaya. Look in the midbar. But in the midbar, Bnei Yisrael ate the mon. And Moshe told them they should bench on the mon. So even though the mon wasn't made of the regular five grains, the ma'aseh, they said at the bench. Why? Because that was their lechem. So if that was their lechem, so doichen, millet and other things, that's our lechem. So even though it's not made of the chamish mini dogon, we still want a bench. So Ben Avraham and Rambam, he said it's a good kasha. But he says you have to be mechalik. He says either there was the whole of Klal Yisrael did that, and here you're only a minority, you're only, that's your minig, but it's not across the board. Even across the world don't eat doichen and doiro. And he says another pshat, and he says, who am I duyekes? This is the Emes Teret. He says you can't compare. Let's read his Loshen. He says, this is the Emes Teret. We don't bench because Moshe told them to bench on the mon. We bench because the Torah said, we don't bench because Moshe Rabbeinu told them to bench on the mon. Right, what does he mean? Moshe at the end of the day told them to bench on the mon. So was Moshe wrong? How could they bench on the mon? So maybe he means, like we were saying before, that the ikachiv of benching is v'chalt v'savato. Moshe made a special takana to bench on the mon. It was a separate din to bench on the mon. So therefore, even though it wasn't a regular lechem, it wasn't made of the chamishis mini dogon, but afal pikein, l'maisa Moshe made a separate takana to bench on the mon. Maybe there was a makor to be, datim kini Hashem. But we bench from v'chalt v'savato v'rachto. So for that, we need to have a regular bread made of chamishis mini dogon, so you can't bring a rye from the midbar. But we see also from Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam, perhaps also, that there were two benchings. We have our benching. And the mon, they had their own benching, a new takon of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Spemes Galenia Shas also talks about Yosef Engel. He also asks, how could they bench on the mon? So he wants to say, like he wants to say before, that maybe when they ate it, they had kavona, they had das, that should be bread. And he takes on that when they thought that this should taste like the bread, not only it tasted like the bread, actually turned into bread. That's what he wants to say. He brings he makes a machlokes out of it. Did they only have the taste of that thing, or actually when they thought it would be bread, it became a piece of bread? But he has other kashas, because we know that Bnei Yisrael couldn't be yet to the mitzvah of matzah with the mon, the ritva, and others say, why not? Why couldn't they just think that should be a matzah? So he's done about that. But he took on a whole different terrace, that the way they bench is because they thought it would be like bread, and it became bread. But according to what we're saying now, it could be that the whole takona on benching on the mon was a whole different mitzvah. It wasn't the regular mitzvah which we have. So therefore, even though it wasn't one of the five grains, they could still bench on the mon. So maybe we could go back to the original kasha. The Chazanish asked, how could they bench on the mon? As soon as they ate it, it got absorbed into the body, so they weren't able to bench. So could be, if you were saying now, like you don't have to have, the mon itself wasn't one of the five grains, so it could be for the same reason, even though it didn't settle in their stomach, but there was a separate mitzvah to bench on the mon. It wasn't part of the regular mitzvah of v'chalt v'savat v'erachta. There was a separate Moshe tikkun lem l'Yisrael l'varach ha'samon. So it could be, even though they ate it and it got absorbed straight away into the body, but they ate, the ma'aseh, they were satisfied, that could be enough to bench on the mon as well. That was the new takana to bench on the mon, a new mitzvah. So even though it didn't sit in their stomach, but it could be b'chlala had its own rules, it had its own gedorim. That's how they could bench. So if that could be, they could bench even within 72 minutes, or maybe a different amount. They wouldn't be confined to have to bench straight away, like the Chazanish said. That could be another way to answer the Chazanish, how they could bench on the mon, even though it got absorbed. Now, Lamaisa, Abraham Kanievsky's got a very interesting diuk in this week's parasha. He says, if you look in the parasha of the mon, it says in Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Tazayin, Hashem commanded you shall go and take them on. So an article says, according to the number of your people. And Oymer per person. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, what's the Lashon Lagul Goyles? So he brings the Gemara in Menachos Daf Lamed Zayin. The Gemara says, there's somebody called Flimu. Somebody called Flimu, who's mentioned a few times in Shas. Flimu asked a question to Rebbe. He says, somebody who was born, Rachman Letzlan, he's born with two heads. Which head should he put tefillin on? That was his shaila. So Rebbe thought he's mevatel tamid chomim. He's asking a radical question, and he said, "Leave the base of medrash or accept upon himself a klala. Why are you asking me such questions?" So Gemara says, a minute later, somebody walked into the base of medrash and said, "Rebbe, I just had a child, chomon atzlan, with two heads, and I've got a shaila for pitin aben. Do I have to pay once? Do I have to pay twice?" The Gemara goes through a shakavataria. And the Gemara says, the Maskona says in the Pasha of Pidyon HaBen Lagol Goyles. So Lagol Goyles means according to your heads. So Gemara says, if a child with two heads, the father has to give Pidyon HaBen twice. He has to give 10 Siloim to the Kohen. Because some mitzvahs are toiler on the heads on Lagol Goyles, not on the body. Says of Chaim Kanievsky, if the mon was Omen Lagol Goyles, so he says a chiddush, if somebody in the midbar had two heads, he'd get two portions of mon. So he's looked up Chaim Kanievsky. So that's how he's medag the posik. So he says, but also poshut, because we know that the machlokes in the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon Reish Lakish, whether achila in the Torah is hanoas goren or hanoas me'ayin, which means when a person eats, what constitutes an eating? Is it the eating of the mouth, of the throat, or of the stomach? The Gemara says in Afkimina, if somebody eats a kezais, let's say of novela, and some of it is stuck into, gets left over into his gums, and in the stomach, he only gets less than a kezais. The Gemara says, Lefri Rabbi Yechon hanoas goren, he ate a kezais. For Reish Lakish, Lamaisa, he doesn't have a kezais inside his stomach, so that's not called an achila. Says Rechaim Kanievsky, the pasuk before this by the mon says, "Hu alechem ashanosan Hashem lochem lo'achla." This is the food Hashem gave to you lo'achla for an achila. So Torah says the mon is going to be an achila. Pasuk afterwards says it's oimel lagul goyles. So if a person with two heads, says Rechaim Kanievsky, would get two portions of mon because lagul goyles, and the Torah is saying that's called an achila, it must be like Rabbi Yechonon, the hanoas goroin is a kaveah, because this person has only got one stomach, he's got two heads. So if the Torah is saying that's called an achila, it must be that achila goes according to the mouth, according to the throat when a person swallows the food. If you go according to Hanoas Me'ayim, Lamaisa, you only had one stomach, so there's only one achila. So why would the Torah say like a goyles, it goes according to the heads? So as Zofrik B'chaim Kanievsky, basically a kasha on Reish Lakish from the Torah, from the pasuk of like a goyles. Lefri Reish Lakish, why would it be that a person with two heads would get two portions of mon? So if you could say, up to the Chazanish, that the Chazanish anyway asked a question. The Chazanish said, how b'chal could they bench on the mon? As soon as they ate the mon got broken up straight away and got sent to all the parts of the body. As in, the mon bechalal didn't settle in their stomach. So you could say that the whole machlokes of Reish Lakish is by regular food, which the nature of that food is you swallow it, it goes through your throat and it goes through your stomach. And then the shaila is, what part of that is called an achila? Is that when it's in your mouth it's called an achila, or when it's in your stomach is that the achila? But mon was a whole different type of food. The food of mon was a food which, as soon as you swallowed it, straight away got sent to all parts of your body. A bechalal didn't go to your stomach. The achila of mon was an achila which straight away went to all chalakim of the guf. It wasn't an achila which at all went to your stomach. So it could be in that Reish Lakish, Amadah's moida, that achila means achilas gorin. Normal foods which go to your stomach, then Reish Lakish holds an achila only when it's achila in your stomach. A food which the nature of that food is to straight away get sent to your stomach, such a food, Amadah, the achila of that food is the achila of your gorin, is the achila of your mouth. So for not shvei bechalal, when it comes to mon, Amadah Reish Lakish's moida, that achilas gorin is kevea, and that's why Abraham Kievsky is right, lekul alma, that person with two heads, Avad would get two portions of mon, because the whole achila of mon had to do with their mouths, didn't have to do with the stomach's bachlal. So that could be a pshat by the mon. But we know that the Gemara Erchin says something, also a similar idea. The Gemara Erchin says that everyone is chayv to bench. Kohanim, levim, nisraelim. So Gemara says, what's the chiddush of Kohanim? Why shouldn't they bench? The Gemara says, even if they eat kochim, they still have to bench. So what's the pshat, even if they eat kochim? So it could be the pshat is that Abraham Volozhin writes in Ovis, in Ruach Haim, and Prokitur Blaz is also mashm like that, that when they ate kochim, it was the same nest. When they ate kochim, also it was nivla beviraim. Also, there was no waste, and it got swallowed up into their bodies. So efshe there as well, you can say like the chazanish. As soon as they ate it, straight away it got sent to all the different parts of their body, and there was no achilas me'ayim bechal. So could be that's the chiddush, that kohanim also had to bench when eating kochim, even though it was nisakel straight away, and there was no hanas me'ayim, still they had to bench, like the mon. Kilo, that could be the chiddush there as well. But what we see here from the chazanish, that the whole mon was a lechem in a shemayim, and the whole eating wasn't a regular eating bachlal. It was an eating also which was an achila, which was l'malam b'derech ateva. So emes, we find the Sfarim right, and if you look in Pasuk Dalad, Pasuk said there was a test by the mon. V'yim Hashem l'moshe, hirin imam t'lechem lechem in a shemayim, v'yotza on v'lok tut v'ayoyim b'yoyimoy, l'man anasen, I'm going to test them, hayelech b'sirosi imloy. I'm going to test, hayelech b'sirosi, are they going to go in my Torah? So I saw, I think, from Rabbeinu Yonasan Eibeshit, he says, what's hayelech b'sirosi? What was the test? So he says the whole eating of the mon was a high eating. The test was that we know they could taste whatever they wanted when they ate the mon. The test was what would they think of? We know the Mishnah says, Mao darkish al Torah, pas mamelach toichal. The nisoyin was when they tasted the mon, hayelech b'sirasi, are they going to go b'darkish al Torah? Are they going to have machshava for pas mamelach toichal? Or no, they're going to think about other things. That was the test. That was the eating of the mon. It had to be of a higher level. But that's sheni, the chadush harim, says something the opposite. He says, as he asks, what was the chesed that Bnei Yisrael could do in the midbar? Everyone had everything they needed. They had mon, they had Anani Akov, they had Be'er Miriam. Everyone had whatever they needed. What was the chesed? So he says if somebody knew of a good taste, they had recently a good steak, they could go to their friends and say, you know, I just ate something, unbelievable. I'm going to tell you all about it. This is how it tasted, and this is how they served it, and this is what it was. And that was a chesed. He could go tell somebody else a good taste, so that when he ate the mon, he could then have that taste in mind, and then elevate the taste of the mon. That was a chesed which they did in the midbar. Chari would be not like a bein unless, I don't know, litvish mahalach, sisha mahalach, I don't know. It could be it's not stira. It could be that for yourself, the chesed is, you do for somebody else, you tell him all the good taste that he could have, at least he could enjoy himself. But it could be Yenna's ruchness can become, Yenna's gashmis is your ruchness as well. But it could be it's not stira b'chlal, these two ideas of them on. But there's a famous story with the Chofetz Chaim. Somebody asked the Chofetz Chaim that we know you could have all the, whatever you thought of by them on, that was the taste. What if somebody ate them on and he wasn't thinking b'chlal, he ate them on, his mind wasn't there, he didn't have any machshava. The Chofetz Chaim says, as I'm nicht, hot garnish can tam. Says if you do something and you don't think about it, nothing's got a taste of it. You won't have any taste bachalal. Chad Chavat Chaim was saying that's really the message of the mon. That person can have lots of shefa, can have everything he wants in life, can have lots of bracha. But if he goes through life and he doesn't think about what he has, doesn't think about what he's doing, doesn't matter what he has, hot garnish can tam. Whatever he does doesn't have bachalal any taste to it, doesn't have any meaning. Sometimes we know the Gemara says when the Beis HaMikdash is going to come, the food which we're going to taste is going to have more tam, it's going to have more taste. So what's the pshat? Because the pasuk tells us, when the Mashiach comes, Umola Aretz Deyas Hashem, the world's going to become full of das. Which means the more das we have, the more we appreciate life, the more we think about what we're doing and what we have, that itself gives more time to everything which we have, everything which we're doing. So that's why in the Beis HaMikdash was going to be a world full of das, full of Deyas Hashem. So the mele, everything we're going to have, we're going to do, is going to have more time. So that we should be Zoicha, the Beis HaMikdash, Shlishi, B'meir V'meinu, Amen.
Go. So let's go perhaps just to the beginning of the Seder. Maybe we'll graduate later to the Mon as well, given the sufficient time. The Pusik says, Vayikach Moshe es atzmo es Yosef imoy ki yashbaya yashbiya es b'nai Yisroel laimoy. Pukoy divkoy delekim eschem, v'alisem es atzmo yisai mizeh itchem. Moshe Rabbeini was the one. Says Vayikach Moshe. There were hundreds of thousands, millions of Yidden there. All of them could have been busy with Atzmus Yosef, but no, Vayikach Moshe. He was the one that busied himself and occupied himself with Tfiras Yosef. So of them, there's a famous medrash which says the following: Chacham Laiv Yikach Mitzvois. The wise of heart is the one that will take Mitzvois. What does it mean, Chacham Laiv Yikach Mitzvois? So the Medrash goes on to explain that because Moshe Rabbeini was Oisik with Kfiras Yosef and to take his bones out, therefore he had really two choices. There was a mitzvah of Dabenu Boznehu Om Vayishali Ishmei Yisrei Ahi Veishu Mei Yisrei Isa Kesef HaKedev, and clearly that would have been of monetary benefit. Eden went to the Mitzrayim, it was in the dark of the night, and said to them, you know, your wife has got an emerald and diamond necklace in the back of the vault on the left side. Oh, Zoe, how do you know? Because I know, because I can see. I've got special X-ray eyes in the dark. And the other Yid says to him, and your wife has got a ruby and diamond ring there, tucked away under the pillow where she thinks nobody knows it. Well, I'm telling you, I'd like to relieve you of this ring. And this is how it went. When it came to the night where the Eden were told, so they, all the Eden were busy cashing in, raking it in. There were millions and millions and billions of pounds of booty to be taken there. But Moshe Rabbeinu also had this opportunity because he had the same mitzvah as everybody else. Ein nu elulush makush, the Moshe Rabbeinu says, shelo yoyim ois atzadik. But no, he chose to do something else. He went and he occupied himself and busied himself with Kfiras Yosef, taking the bones which had been placed inside the Nile, Ishtamazoy, but in a lead casket, and the way he got it out, he had to pick a Shem Alay Shor. So why does the Pusik say Chacham Leiv? Why doesn't the Pusik say Tzidkas Leiv? Why doesn't the Pusik say Yashrus Leiv? A person, of Tzidkas, that he's got the opportunity of, one, cashing in loads of money, two, to do something which is purely a mamush, the ultimate chesed shel emes, where you don't get a cent for it, and he chose that. So there is one mahalach which says that Moshe Rabbeinu essentially was a din of a kohen, as we see later over Parshas Terumah with the Tzaveh, that he acted in the Bes Mikdash, literally being makriv korbunos, and he went in Fnei V'Lefnim. He went to various different places where his status, even though he was from Shevet Levi, was the din of a kohen. He was busy there with the chalikas of the Mishkan, and as a result of that, he might be under the dinim of not being able to be metame to a dead person. Therefore, why would, you know, how could he possibly be misasik batzvas Yosef? But now, in this given moment that the Yidden were able to take Yosef out, therefore, all the Yidden deserted him, and the only one which applied himself to the mitzvah was Moshe, so automatically Yosef became a mes mitzvah. A mes mitzvah, so the Moshe Rabbeinu could actually apply. So if you got chacham leiv, that means chacham leiv, that the wisdom of heart, knowing to apply himself at a given specific time, that now, because of the situation and the circumstances that prevailed upon him, that now I can go to be misasik. So that's not only tzidkas, it's also a certain intuition that led himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. And also the lushen of Vayikach Moshe, because the Vayikach is also a lushen fin. In you speak about kinyunim, there's so many. You've got kinyan agav, you've got kinyan chutzah, you've got kinyan yad, but you've also got kinyan. Vayikach is always lushen hakbur, to pick something up, like they do with the gartler, the chibs, hakbur. But homiletically speaking, hakbur means to rise yourself, to raise yourself, to transcend a place where normally you would be perhaps drawn to monetary and commercial interests. But no, you decide that I'm going to do something which is going to give me a place of Yenefeld, something which is the Heuben. So Vayikach Moshe, the Lushen of Ein Kirche Elu Hagbur, he raised himself, he rose, he transcended to a place, as he Ma'as Atzus Yosef, that instead of applying himself to the burial of Yosef, of taking the money Mitzrayim, he went and he was busy with the kvira of the Heilige Yosef Atzadik. We've got a couple of minutes. I'll just tell you one thing to be kasher, because we spoke so much about the Mon, so I'll just give you one thought about the Mon as well. Och Achsidish Pshat, which says, I think, in the name of the Slonim Rebbe, the Shem Shmil, which was before the Baisafum, and he said the following. Like we said, the Mon had various different tastes, and you could have in mind to do chesed, to do somebody else, and tell him to have in mind the rib steak with chips, vechile, vechile. But the Torah describes it that when it did not have the input of the person's mind, then its natural taste had katzapiches bedvash. Katzapiches bedvash, according to Rashi, this essentially describes it as being like some sort of pancake fried in honey, which was like a sweet honey cake or something similar. But if you take the letters of katzapiches bedvash, you see something interesting. The first letter and the last letter of both words are katzapiches, has got a chuf at the beginning, a suf at the end, and bedvash has got a base at the beginning and a shien at the end. If you take those four letters together and you assemble them, you get the word k'shabos, just like Shabbos. Just like Vots to Shaykh. Tails is pushing. In the same way that the Mon, whatever the person's thoughts were, and whatever he really wanted to extrapolate from the taste of the Mon, he was able to do. So in Shabbos is also that possibility. One person is potentially thinks to himself, Shabbos, ah, Machaye, Chun, Kishke, Kigli, Hering, Eikichel, ah, chicken soup, Wus ken zam, besser wie dem, come home at night, after davenen, mit Appetit, bis nach Mekayim, oinig Shabbos ochet. So he says, yeah, but there's also another side to the Shabbos. Somebody can sit down to the Shabbos and he can sing this Anek Besanigem, or he can sing my Yufis, or he sings my Ein Olam Haba, and he recognizes that within the Shabbos there is something so spiritual, so lofty, so celestial that a person can transcend again to a place and use the Shabbos in a way which it becomes purely spiritual. In the same way that the mon was able to have any taste that the person wants, similarly, Shabbos, with those oysters, you also have a koich and Shabbos that can bring you to any taste the person wants. One person will opt for the chulent and the kishke, but another one will sit down Shabbos and zech kasha zame the heiligen Bashef. Shabbos. I'm going to go to the hospital.